Today, I want to give you some practical strategies for practicing contentment. We know we should be content. We know discontent is a spiritual place, and we don't want to be in it. We know it isn't an emotional place we want to live. So how do we stay content? The first tool is praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving are great tools for all spiritual problems and roadblocks. If you are going to be content, praise and thanksgiving are your foundation. Start your day with praise and thanksgiving. Do not open your eyes first thing in the morning. Praise the Lord. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Simply, good morning, Lord. Thank you for today. I give you praise because you are good. Let me just digress for a minute. Sometimes we hear praise and thanksgiving. It's one concept. But praise is giving the Lord the glory and honor he is due because he is God, great, holy, righteous, pure, all those good things. Thanksgiving is, I give you thanks because you have. And it's a good differentiation, but just a sidebar. Another tool is what you say. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That means complaining and arguing. This is generally a good rule to follow for good interpersonal relations, but this rule also applies to self-talk, our thoughts. What are we saying where no one can hear us? My husband tells the story of his first job out of college and how he had a horrible boss. His job was miserable. Truly it was. He would come home and just be so glad to be away from work. Our pastor preached a message on changing the attitude and giving thanks to God in every situation. My husband took that to heart, and every day on the way to work, he would thank God for his job, his boss, his day, and that changed his attitude. It changed my husband. His situation was the same, but he had learned the lesson, and shortly thereafter, he was moved on to a new job. Side note, him and I have a theme, learn the lesson and get out of the trial. So don't be hard-headed and stiff-necked. Learn the lesson. Don't wander around in the desert like the Israelites. If the Lord tells you what to do, do it. Get her done. Move on. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is your self-talk? What conversations are you having with yourself? Stop yourself a couple of times today and review what you've been thinking about in the last few minutes. Is it building contentment or fueling discontentment? Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Once we've chosen to praise God for what we have, be thankful for what he has, and have the correct conversation with our words and with our thoughts, we need to analyze our diet. What are we consuming in our eyes and ears? I'm picking the word consume on purpose. What are we eating in our minds? Is it breeding discontent? Is it disguised as improving our lives? After we bought our first house, I was complaining about my lawn with, or I'm sorry, I was comparing my lawn with my neighbor's lawn. We had just moved in. We had bought a foreclosure and the lawn, and I use that word loosely, was up to my knees when we moved in. It was full of weeds. I love being barefoot, and I remember stepping on these cut-off weeds that were woody, and they were really painful. I pulled those things out of the lawn for several years. Anyways, my neighbor was a gentleman in his 80s, and one day I was watching him mow his lawn, his lovely lawn. It was so green, it was even, it didn't seem to have any bare spots. And I was mentioning to him how lovely his lawn was and lamenting my own. He said, "I'm pretty sure your lawn and my lawn are about the same." I knew the saying, "the grass is greener on the other side," but I was incredulous that he would even make that statement. He clearly had a much better lawn. I knew that I was a pretty practical person. I don't sugarcoat much, so I just downplayed the statement as him being nice. A while later, I had walked into his backyard and realized it was mostly moss. He had these lovely old oak trees that shaded out all the grass. It looked green and lush from my yard because it was green and lush, but it was filled with moss, not grass, like I was assuming. Talk about literally realizing the grass is not always greener on the other side. This is a good illustration of what we consume because so much of it is the angle of the camera or the editing. We don't see or hear reality. And I'm not going to say much on the topic because we all know that we spend what we spend our time on and what we consume affects our thought process. We just lie to ourselves, make excuses about it, about why it's okay for us to consume things that breed discontentment. We call it home improvement. We call it what we do in our downtime. We call it educational. But if we are discontent, we need to seriously look at our diet. Last time, we talked about 2 Corinthians and how generosity affects us, others, and blesses God. Let me just reiterate, generosity changes our focus from what we want to what we have to give. You just start looking at your resources and your abundance. As Americans, we have an abundance. We have a tendency to look toward people who have more. But when we look at people who have a need and start looking at how to help them, our focus is on giving instead of accumulating. If you notice that you are discontent, make a conscious effort to look for who around you needs something and start giving and blessing. Practical strategies for contentment. Praise and thanksgiving, what you consume, what you talk about, and giving generously. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for there some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body."